You're locked in to JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We roll into the 5 o'clock hour on this historic day in Utah sports history. JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester. We continue to follow this massive story. The NHL is here. We have NHL in Utah. The Utah Hockey Club will begin play this season, this coming season. It's reality, it's real, and we could not be more excited. And we are thrilled to bring on our next guest. No one covers hockey better. The hockey world knows him well. Now we get to know him as a new NHL market. Greg Wyshynski joins us, ESPN hockey writer. Wish, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing great. Now let me ask you a question. Is Utah Hockey Club what we're officially going with?
We just decided in the last 3 hours that
we got to call it something.
They're not going to, as you guys reported today, and as we've heard, that Ryan Smith's not going to rush this. So it looks like they're going to play a season without a mascot and all that kind of stuff. So Utah Hockey Club, just like Washington Football Team, sounds good to us.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. So, like, I'm talking to the team, the Utah people, last night. For a story that'll run with me and Emily Kaplan on ESPN.com at some point. And we were talking about the fact that they weren't going to have a team mascot and logo until year two. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I said, I guess we're just going to have to go with what, like Utah Hockey Club for like the next year? And she said, where did you hear that? Like, real quickly. I'm like, oh, wait a second. Wait, did I just pull the Pelican brief here? Did I just come up with something? And now it's going to actually happen? Like, I was like, are you DOS protest too much? I don't know. We'll see. There's some chatter that Ryan and Ashley Smith will give us a name tomorrow at the press conference with Gary Bettman at the Delta Center. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. But yeah, I mean, you know, they've hired a really big branding company, Doubleday and Cartwright, to come up with the brand, with the name and logo with the team. They're the firm that redesigned the Milwaukee Bucks, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know, they're going to have some pros on this thing to figure out what the logo and the name will be. But obviously, taking their time with it.
It makes a lot of sense. Utah Hockey Club Year One makes a ton of sense. Will you be here tomorrow? You coming to the press conference?
No, all this stuff happens at the worst time, man. Like, it's all playoff hockey for us.
I know.
You know, getting ready for the weekend. I'm going to have to be covering stuff over the weekend. But no, I'm dying to go out there. I actually just spoke with Ryan Smith for the first time last night and really, really enjoyed the conversation. And we talked about coming out there and you know, seeing him and seeing the facility and seeing everything else as they gear up for next season. So I plan on making my way out there at some point during the off season.
Well, we can't wait to have you out here. It's going to be a blast. We're so fired up here. The community is just so excited about this. I mean, it's not every day, Greg, you get a Big Four sports franchise to come to your market fresh and new. And I understand why we'd want to wait for that brand. You don't want to mess this up. You want to get it right. And you want, and I know Ryan Smith wants to get every detail correct. You reported on this sale. What is it about this sale? Because it seems very unique. Have you ever seen anything in the NHL like this?
No, never. And in fact, like, not even anywhere in sports. I mean, I said to Ryan Smith last night when I was talking to him, I'm like, look, I'm not one who does a lot of $1.2 billion deals, but don't you got to talk to the person you're buying from at some point to actually facilitate this thing?
Oh, he's going
to
like
and
this
he told me. Yeah, he told me that, like, when he bought the Jazz, like, I guess him and the former owner worked out the details themselves and took it to the NBA, which is how sometimes this thing works. In the case of the Coyotes relocating to Salt Lake City, it's the NHL that's run this whole show. And it does make sense. I mean, you got to keep in mind that the whole reason this is happening is because the NHL found the situation in Arizona to be untenable with not having an arena plan set, with having to play in Mullet Arena, the college hockey arena, until at least 2027. And so it's the league that is kind of instigating this whole thing. And so it makes sense that they're going to be the ones to try to, you know, have Alex Morello, the Coyotes owner, sign off on his end, and then obviously take the deal to Ryan and Ashley Smith and have them sign off on their end. So it's an unusual setup, but given the circumstances of the relocation, it kind of makes sense that it's not, you know, the Smith group and the Morello group at a table grinding this thing out on their own.
Well, I'll say former Jazz owner Gail Miller seems a lot more friendly than Alex Morello, so I can understand why they did it this way. For a little bit of history and background, maybe not too far history, but can you explain how this came to fruition? Did the NHL come to Ryan Smith with the idea, or did Ryan Smith go to them with the idea? How did this specific transaction get set into motion here in the last 6 months?
Yeah, the NHL came to him basically and laid out, you know, had to make sure that the timeline was going to work for something to happen. You know, the instigator to this whole thing was the Coyotes. Like I said, it's the fact that they had a vote last spring on an arena plan that they were convinced was going to pass to build an arena in Tempe. And then the voters rejected it, mm-hmm. a lot of them, because they didn't trust the fact that this thing would be that this thing wasn't going to cost them money as taxpayers. There wasn't a lot of trust with the Morello group after everything that happened in Glendale. Once that happened, the NHL really had to start thinking about other options. You know, the Coyotes came back with another arena plan. It requires them to win an auction this summer, shovels in the ground 2025. Who knows when this arena would even open? And it just became a situation where it was unfair to the players and unfair, frankly, to hockey-related revenue for the league to have this team festering in a college hockey arena for that long. So, you know, all of that kind of was the reason the NHL started considering its options. The best option for a quick relocation was going to be Salt Lake City. They mm-hmm. knew that Ryan Smith wanted a team. He wanted an expansion team, but they came to him and said, would relocation work? And everything moved real quickly. I mean, this whole thing kind of came together within like a 2 or 3 month span. It's pretty remarkable.
Man, that is awesome. What has been the word, you know, around the league about, you know, coming to Salt Lake City, this being a destination for teams from the other conference, Eastern Conference, Western Conference? What's been the words about, you know, coming to Salt Lake City?
Well, I think there's an information gap insofar as what people know about the growth of the market. You know, I've had to do my research myself into learning more about the economic boom that's happening there, the population boom that's happening there, and really understanding what the NHL saw in this market to want to bring a team there besides, you know, it being into winter sports. You know, that's kind of like what we knew about Salt Lake
right. Before
we really kind of did our research. I think the reaction has been interesting. I think the reaction on the one hand is that people are intrigued by Salt Lake getting a team and what that means for, you know, a new arena there, what that means for Olympic participation and all that stuff. And I think for the most part, though, it's a reaction to the Coyotes saga finally ending. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have followed this for a very long time. There's a lot of people, especially in Canada, who think it's an absolute joke that the Coyotes have been able to fester there for as long as they have. And so to see this situation finally come to its logical conclusion, I think has been a huge relief for a lot of hockey fans. But then also, you know, it's difficult to watch fans say goodbye to a team that they really loved, as we saw at Mullet Arena last night, where there was tears flowing. And
a lot of tears. Yeah. I was seeing that. I'm like, what? Are you crying?
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, you got to remember, this is not only it's a fan base that's passionate. There's just not a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's a lot of Coyotes fans that have been kind of following this saga for over a decade now, where the team's almost moving to Hamilton, the team's almost moving to Seattle, the team is moving from one place in Arizona to the other, and living and dying with all this hanging over their heads. And then finally, you know, the plug gets pulled on them, and that's sort of the flow of emotions that happens last night. I will say the most embarrassing thing that happened last night was you had people openly weeping about their hockey team being taken from them, and the speakers in the arena are playing James Brown's "I Feel Good."
Oh my
god! Which I thought was just like the single worst. And then they followed "I Feel Good" with Mambo Number 5. And I'm saying to myself, read the room,
read,
man.
The
they
room.
Should be playing like
Sam
a funeral dirge or the Smiths or something last night. I don't know. It was really, an odd feeling.
Well, the fan, I mean, these players and these coaches, everybody on the staff deserves better, and I think they're going to get better here with Ryan. I want to revisit the branding and the mascot, all that stuff real quick. You shared on Twitter earlier today that there's been some patents filed. Maybe was it on Tuesday? Some of the names that I don't know. We don't know, but you said there was some things. What are some of those names, and what do you know about that?
So there's a guy named Clark Rasmussen who runs a website called DetroitHockey.net, I think is what it is. You can find the link on my Twitter and follow it there. But this guy is famous for following the U.S. patent and trademark filings around pro sports teams. He's the first guy to figure out the Vegas team was going to be called the Golden Knights. He was on the Kraken before the Kraken were named. So this guy knows how to suss this thing out. He's not sure if this is in fact the Utah team that's filing this stuff, but the timing of it was very curious. And some of the names that they filed are maybe names that we're going to hear tomorrow, including Utah Hockey Club and Utah HC. But some of the other nicknames were the Utah Venom, Utah Blizzard, I believe it was one of them. Mm. And so there's some names that are out there, but ultimately, like I said, they've hired this branding firm to figure out what they want to call the team. I don't know if the points that this guy found are related to the Utah franchise or not, but it's always fun to, you know, dig in and speculate. The only thing we know for sure is that it's Utah and not Salt Lake City. Like, that's the only thing we know for certain about this team, is that it's not going to be the Salt Lake City whatevers. It's going to be the Utah whatevers when they finally name it next year.
Right. That is a strange hobby, but we appreciate his work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets us closer to understanding what we want. What was your experience with the Golden Knights expansion, right? You know, I played in Pittsburgh, and I went back and visited Pittsburgh kind of around the time that the Golden Knights got signed or signed up. They brought their new team there, and there was all sorts of shirts around Pittsburgh that saying Vegas was built by Pittsburgh. Right, they got all the Pittsburgh players and this and that. So, what would Utah need to do? I mean, not as far as the players, but like what successes did the Golden Knights have with their expansion team that Utah should do?
Well, I'll get to the players thing in a moment because I think it's kind of interesting. But as far as like the sensation that the Knights were, they've set the template, man, for what you need to really energize the market.
Right.
The in arena experience, the pregame experience, the show that they put on has reset the template. When the Kraken were born in Seattle, they hired all of Vegas's pregame entertainment people to kind of do the same thing in their arena. So when it comes to that, when it comes to the jerseys, the branding, everything, you know, they're a great template to follow as far as how to really energize a market quickly. Now, the thing that we haven't really talked about is the fact this isn't a traditional expansion team.
Right.
That they're getting a bunch of players from you know, the Coyotes. They're getting a bunch of draft picks from the Coyotes. They're getting the Coyotes hockey operations department and their entire farm system. And if you're watching that game last night, you're seeing a bunch of guys that are real young, Dylan Gunther, Logan Cooley, that are really, really good hockey players and super young. And you're saying to yourself, this is really intriguing. Like there are a lot of teams that move that it takes a few years for them to get back to being at contender status because maybe they've been stripped down to nothing because they knew the team was going to move. And then obviously with expansion teams, you have teams like Vegas that play for the cup in their first season. And you have teams like Seattle that have missed the playoffs in two of the three seasons they've existed. I think the Utah team is really set up for success. I think that they've got a ton of young talent on that team and in that system. They've got a huge amount of draft capital they can use to draft or trade. And I think that this is a team that, you know, quite frankly, has just been waiting years for someone to, you know, spend to the cap. And I don't know if Ryan Smith and Ashley Smith are going to do it this summer, but they're going to do it soon. And I'm telling you, man, like as much as an expansion draft can populate your team and make you good, they are really set up with what they're getting from what Arizona had started to build there.
With all that said, with a really nice young roster, picks, all that, should Ryan Smith and the Utah Hockey Club keep GM Bill Armstrong and head coach Andre Tourney?
Yeah, I think so, at least through this first season. There's going to be so much turnover and so much chaos surrounding this roster that it's probably good to keep the coach in place. They know him, they like him, and he's done a pretty good job with them, too. It's funny, this team might have actually been a playoff team this year were it not for their season completely falling apart when the reports about them relocating to Salt Lake City came out. When, as soon as that happened, they went into a huge losing streak. And then Bill Armstrong's an interesting guy. You know, his bread and butter is actually building through the draft. It's one of the reasons why people are really excited to see them have as many draft picks as they have in, on hand right now. But he's also someone that whose hands have been tied as far as being able to go and recruit free agents to come to the Coyotes on contracts that don't last longer than 1 year. Everyone knew what was up with this team, that it could relocate, that there wasn't an arena, that if you came there, you'd have to play in front of 5,000 fans a night. Now he's got an owner with deep pockets. Now he's got an actual arena where the team's going to play. So I'm really excited to see what happens with him having some resources and assets to play with insofar as how he builds a team beyond the draft.
I saw you guys posted a top 50 NHL player ranking on the website today, and I went through it. I didn't see any Coyotes players.
Well,
which is well.
Well, that was a gimmick for the playoffs. That's only playoff players.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Of course, you didn't see any. But I'll still ask this question.
Go ahead.
Is there a top 50 guy? Would you say there is a top 50 guy on the team if you included all the players? And if not, are there any of those players that could be available this offseason via free agency or maybe a trade based on what you're hearing with the team that maybe has too much payroll or otherwise?
Well, there's definitely going to be players available that are of pretty good renown. I mean, there's a guy named Sam Reinhart, for example, with the Florida Panthers who had over 50 goals this season. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Steven Stamkos, a star player with the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's no telling what's going to happen with him and that team after the season. They haven't talked about a new deal all year. But I mean, as far as what's on the roster already, Clayton Keller is a great young player, a star for that team, somebody who's on a long-term contract and somebody who I think would be a much bigger name if he had been playing in a different market for the last few seasons. And then, you know, a guy who really came into his own this year was their goalie, Connor Ingram, who, has a really great story. You know, he's got a kind of a personal journey overcoming like OCD and depression and stuff to really get his life in order. And he was an outstanding goalie for them this year. And, you know, as everybody knows in hockey, I mean, the goaltending position is the difference between winning and losing on a lot of nights. And if you've got a good goaltender like him, then you're doing pretty well for yourself. And he signed, I think, for the next couple of seasons. So those are two pieces that are already in place.
They're going to play in the Central Division in the Western Conference, which is just loaded with great teams. For fans here who are not familiar with the competitive nature of that division, just how good is that division and how challenging will it be for this team to be able to compete right out of the gate in that division?
Yeah, it's a tough division, man. I mean, the three teams that finished in the top three in that division, the Dallas Stars, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Winnipeg Jets, are all great in their own right. Dallas is the favorite in the conference to advance to play for the Cup right now. If you check the sports books, the Avalanche led the league in scoring. The Jets were one of the top defensive teams and have one of the arguably the best goalie in the world and Connor Hellebuck on their roster. And then, you know, you got the Minnesota Wild that are kind of okay. I mean, like they lost their way a little bit this season, and the St. Louis Blues, the same story. And then you got the Blackhawks who, you know, had to strip their team down to the rivets in order to win the draft lottery and draft this kid Connor Bedard last year. But Connor Bedard looks like he's going to be the next generational talent in this league. So they're going to be on their way back up too. So it's a really competitive division with a lot of really good players and solid teams. So it won't be easy coming into the Central.
So the Blackhawks did a Wimbenyama to get their guy.
This is an NBA they market really... wish. Bear with us.
No. But that's exactly right. And you know, the NHL is infamous for teams being willing to do that. The issue is that if you strip your team down to nothing and try to tank, and San Jose, the Sharks were the team that did it this year the most, you still only have like a 25% chance of winning the first overall pick. So it's still risky, but you know, in the NHL, you guys will learn pretty quickly. The teams that do have elite talent are the ones that thrive, and the usually the only way to acquire that elite talent when it's in their prime is through the draft.
Well, let's talk about that. What are, for us non-hockey guys, we are NBA market. We're trying to adjust to this, and I'm sure the Salt Lake community is going to absolutely dive headfirst into this hockey atmosphere. What are some important key hockey dates to look out for, like the draft, All-Star Weekend, you know, free agency, stuff like that?
Yeah, you guys are hopping on board at a very interesting time. So the draft is in June. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of June, and actually it's kind of cool this year. The draft is going to be held at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of incredible. So the NHL draft is a fun time, insofar as like learning who your team's going to have on the come up, but there's a large learning curve for hockey fans. It's a lot of NCAA players, junior Canadian players, and then players from all over the world mm-hmm. that you've never heard of before. So you got to rely on the draft experts to kind of tell you what's going on. It's not as easy as the NFL or the NBA.
Right.
All-Star game is usually in January or February, but next year is going to be kind of a funky one for the NHL. So there is actually a special in-season tournament next year called the Four Nations Cup, I believe it is, where it's going to be NHL players from the U.S., Canada, Finland, and Sweden all playing each other as a kind of an appetizer for the 2026 Olympics, which is the first Olympics that the NHL is going to be going to since they went to Sochi in I think it was 2014. So it's a really cool time to get into the league because you have all this like international hockey stuff cooking for the next 2 years.
Awesome.
And then obviously, look, I mean, the playoffs start this weekend for those fans that want to check it out. And for my money, albeit biased, the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best tournament in pro sports, and especially the first round, when you've got all 16 teams in action and it gets real chaotic. And it's not one of these deals where like the one seeds always make it through. In fact, the Rangers won the President's Trophy this year, which is what the team with the best record in the league wins. And I think there's been 37 teams that finished with the league's best record, and only 11 of them actually advanced to play for the Stanley Cup. And only 7 of those 37 actually won the cup.
Jeez.
So being the best doesn't mean you're always going to end up as the best.
It's just surreal to me that a year from now, we could have the Stanley Cup playoffs in Utah. People here are so fired up. Wish, I cannot thank you enough for your time today on a busy day to share all your knowledge with our fans here. People are excited about this. They're excited for coverage, and they're going to be watching your coverage. Tell people here how they can find you and all your coverage of NHL hockey.
Yeah, head over to ESPN.com. That's where all my writing is. And keep an eye out for a big, long story that me and my colleague Emily Kaplan are doing about how this whole deal was pulled off. And then I got a podcast called The Drop that's also on YouTube with my co-host Arda Ocal. And it is a fun and irreverent look at hockey with lots of ranting and raving about things as people, like to do.
There you go. And at Wyshynski on Twitter. Wish, thanks so much. We appreciate you, and can't wait for you to come to town and meet you in person. But thanks so much for jumping on here and guiding us through this incredible day.
Anytime. Congrats, everybody.
That's Greg Wyshynski, ESPN hockey writer, breaking it down and explaining to us a lot of these things that we're going to get a chance to dive into and learn about this team and what the future is. It's just incredible. We are now an NHL market, and we'll have an NHL team playing real hockey games in the NHL in October.
Crazy. Absolutely insane. I'm so excited. One, because I'm a big hockey fan. You know, I tell the story all the time. I literally lived right across the street from Console Energy Center where the Pittsburgh Penguins played in Pittsburgh. And going to those games, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait for that to be here at Delta Center soon.
It was brought to you by G2G Bars. With all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein, G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. Also, call Trajan Wealth today, your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at trajanwealth.com. Coming up next, Jay Stevens, our own Jay Stevens, KSLSports.com, and the Puck Report. We'll get his reaction to the news today. That's coming up next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's an exciting day for the state of Utah. I think we haven't had this moment since I remember when the Jazz came. At least people tell me the 1979 is when they came to Utah. And so this is a big day, and it's a big moment.
That was Ryan Smith today on Sportsnet in Canada. You know they're interested in this news today, that the NHL is officially coming to Utah. We believed and felt this was going to happen. It was imminent, and the official news came today that the NHL is establishing a new franchise here in Utah, and all the operations staff, players, draft picks coming to Utah from the Arizona Coyotes. And who better to talk to now than Jay Stevens, Utah Puck Report, KSLSports.com, lifelong hockey fan, strong leading member of the hockey community here in Utah. It's been a long day, Jay. It's been a very long day.
I get it.
I have to read a golf thing here. That's on my sheet here, so I'm confusing it. Getting a little ahead of myself, but let's dig into this. I don't want to waste any time. Let's get right into this. Just first of all, your reaction now that it's real.
My phone's been blowing up, and even us just long-lasting, diehard hockey fans never dreamed this day would come true. And I just keep thinking, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and this really didn't happen because this is too good to be true. This changes my retirement plans. This changes my entire life. I have to reach out to my retirement, though, to pull some money out of the 401 to buy season tickets now, right? Like,
yeah.
This is big for us. This is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, what, season tickets open today? Where is it at? Like, it's...
I just got a text. They're just, like, over 8,000 now.
Oh, gosh.
8,000 seats deposited for season tickets.
Jay,
and a building that holds 14,500.
How much did the Coyotes stadium even hold?
4,600.
Yeah. We're almost double that already in a few hours.
Yeah. And Coyotes weren't even selling it out because people were angry about it. Yeah. So,
it's the right move for Arizona.
It's the right move for the NHL and for these players. It just hasn't been fair, and that's getting brought up. And the thing I really like about it, I don't want to ramble on too much, but as it's been discussed now and the details are out, we didn't buy the Phoenix Coyotes, or the Arizona Coyotes. They still have their opportunity.
Right.
So, because you know, I was here during the Year of Darkness when they took the Salt Lake Golden Eagles from us, and it sucked. And I feel so bad for what those Arizona fans are going through, because they're diehard hockey fans, and they had their team taken from them. But they have the chance to get it back. So yeah, we took all their players and draft picks and prospects and their skate sharpener and the bag of pucks and all that stuff. But they've got the chance, and now it's Utah's turn to shine.
Right.
And it's I talked to Ryan last night, and he said, you know, Utahns show up, and it's going to make this amazing. Like, we're going to show the NHL why it was picked. We're going to show everybody else why the NHL picked Salt Lake.
There's no doubt about that. And you mentioned the season tickets already up to 8,000. That's in 3 hours.
Yeah.
NHL in Utah, you can go do it right now. Go put down your deposit and get your seats. I think it's going to be double that by tomorrow, which is just blows my mind. Yep. They don't even have that many seats yet.
Right.
They're going to get there quick, but
yeah.
Wow. Branding is very important. Image, what this team is, and you are well qualified to answer this. Look, I remember the Salt Lake Golden Eagles. We've had the Utah Grizzlies. There's a great hockey history that goes all the way back to the 60s. Of all the things you've heard, what do you think would be the best brand image look for this hockey team? What do you think makes the most sense?
I don't. You know that Yetis thing? I hated it at first.
Yeah?
But the more it comes up, the more it makes sense to me. It's like the Flintstone chewable vitamin. I hated them at first, but then eventually I craved them every day.
You develop a taste.
I loved them right off the back. I don't know. I was like, give me more. I'll take my vitamins, Mom.
But yeah, the Yeti thing makes sense to me, but a lot of people like Blizzard. I don't love the Z's.
Yeah.
And Blizzard ties in a little too much with the Avalanche. So, and when I talked to Ryan yesterday and I said, what are we doing about the name? And he said, I'm not going to make a mistake. We have one shot to make it right, and we're gonna take our time. So, but you can't. The Utah Hockey Club is technically what the University of Utah hockey team is called right now. They are called the Utah Hockey Club. That's their website. So, they're going to be called Utah Hockey something.
Hmm.
And I think they're going to take their time. I think we come out, I think we get a color scheme here in the next 48 hours that's going to be mountainous. I expect to see some purple in there.
You think the color scheme they unveil tomorrow could be the one that's permanent?
I think so.
Okay.
There's been a lot of thought in this. You're talking before. You know, they've hired a big firm.
Yeah.
They're going to put a lot of thought into it. I wouldn't be surprised if it just ends up being the Yeti. And I know, I mean, you know, he could rush it. It's hot right now. If you had Yeti jerseys right now, he'd be making a bank off.
We've seen some of the mock-ups.
And it's great. I love the mocks.
With some purple and blue and white, like the icy look with the Yeti. Yeah.
And the mountains in the background.
And it's a perfect, it's a great mascot. It's very marketable.
Yeah.
Very marketable, and it makes a lot of sense. I think Jeremy was shaking his head in the room there. But
I get
that's
it.
All right.
I totally get it. And there's a lot of people that don't love it. And, you know, when we first started talking about it, I loved the Fighting Saints. Mm-hmm. Because that's got a tie to Utah as well.
Yeah.
I can see how some people wouldn't like it. Maybe it's too.
Wasn't that the name that was supposed to be the name of the original Golden Eagles, but there was some controversy around it.
And
the church didn't like it.
I don't know if it was the church. I think it was the church. But, yeah, and then also St. Paul, who the professional hockey team that was the Fighting Saints, they were like, wait, we still own that logo.
There you go.
So, but now they don't. Like, I checked it out. It's out there.
Okay.
But I don't think it's under consideration.
So Greg Wyshynski, our last guest, he shared this. There's a guy named Clark Rasmussen who looks these things up, but he looked up the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And on Tuesday, the following applications were filed: Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, Utah HC, Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Fury or the Venom?
I'm for them. I like Fury. I heard Revolution at some point too.
Okay.
Utah Revolution.
I'd heard that. Well, you know, actually they registered like 30 names and 30 websites yesterday.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
I've heard Olympians too.
I saw a mock up for
the Olympic Games, Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I liked it too. You know what? I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was like, I'm happy with whatever. These are all great.
I'm fine. I was just reading on the Utah Puck Report page. People are like, oh, they're already making a joke over the team because they're not going to name it for a year. I'm like, no, they're taking their time, and I don't care what they call it. I am just excited that it's going to be here. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. You're mad at somebody for being patient?
Yeah. You're mad because we're bringing an NHL team here, and it's going to cost $100 to go to a game.
Bottom line is the best hockey in the world is going to be here
for
41 games next year in Utah, 82 total on the home and road. It's incredible. Let's break down the team because a lot of us were watching closely last night that we knew this was happening. And we're really getting into who these guys are. That's a fun team, and these guys are coming here.
Yeah, how about that Connor Ingram? Annette made some big saves last night.
Matias, he was great. Yep. I mean, Michelli, just really good players on this team.
Yep.
A good young nucleus. And with Ryan's, I know Ryan's not going to be penny-pinching on this like Morello was.
Yeah.
He's going to spend to bring in other guys. There's a potential here to be good quick.
Bill Armstrong's a good... He's a great GM. He's stockpiled. Everything's sitting ready to strike. Like the Venom. No. I thought I'd just throw that out
there. There you go. He's coming furious for the Fury.
They changed the voice too, right? He's just like the Spider-Man. Venom. The Venom.
No, I just thought I'd throw that. Anyway, we're poised to strike. And it's... What did they say? Danny Ainge said big game hunting when he was talking about going after some free agents.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing now. Like, he's... Finally, this awesome GM who's been under these ridiculous restraints, and you can't get guys to come in. Look, it's hard to get guys to play in Canada because of the taxes, and it's almost impossible to get guys to play in Phoenix because you're playing in a college arena. And now you're like, look, new team, new arena, come live in Utah. Most Europeans and most hockey players love Utah. And in fact, I saw Connor Ingram saying he already had it planned to stop here on his way home.
He does every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So. I think we're going to see some big names come in. I also, I don't know, I can say whatever I want, right? I think Trevor Lewis gets signed here next year.
Oh, that would be perfect. Wouldn't that be the perfect way for him to end his career?
Yeah. And
that'd be great.
He hits his 1,000th game here next year.
Oh, that would be special.
Yeah, Trevor's got some really good free agent friends that have veteran leadership that have won a couple cups. I could see him bringing one or two of them.
Wouldn't that be special?
His contract's up with Vegas. Vegas has to dump a big player next year. Marchessault or Hurdle. They don't have room for both of them. Two $8 million guys. So, I mean, there's some big names out there. We only have 13 guys from this team that you just saw play last night that are still under contract. So, I mean, obviously we have some prospects in Tucson, I love saying we. It's so cool. Hey, so cool.
Hey, invest in it, baby.
So anyway, I think we have a really good team coming. I really, truly, and this isn't just hopeful, Jay. I think we have a NHL playoff game here next year.
I mean, well, that's what
can
everybody's
saying. Can you believe
saying?
The Stanley Cup playoffs 1 year from today here at Delta Center? It's unbelievable.
This is unreal.
Real quick, the division. How excited are you about this division? I know you follow it closely. Top team in the West, the Dallas Stars is there, the Colorado Avalanche. This is a great division. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we still have former Utah Grizzlies playing for the Dallas Stars. You know, so that's cool to see it go full tilt. And at one point, we were the Arizona Coyotes farm club when we were in the A. So there's still a couple players like that around. It's a great division. We have some current Utah Grizzlies or that were on the roster within the last 2 years that are in the Avalanche system, obviously, since the Grizzlies are their farm club, that could be in that too. So you're going to have these guys. It's like this full circle thing of Dallas coming into town and Colorado coming into town, not only being phenomenal hockey players, but we have a little bit of tradition with them as well.
Right.
Because they played here at some point.
Jace, this is awesome. I know how much this means to you, how excited you are. I hope you're enjoying this. It's not a pipe dream anymore. It is real. We are an NHL market.
That's unreal.
So cool.
Say it again. Just say it one more time.
We are an NHL market.
I love
NHL
that you're not putting potential.
It's officially
it's not potential
in Utah. No, there's no more reports.
Fact.
Sources say it is real. Utah is now the home of NHL hockey. April 18th, 2024 is a day we will remember for the rest of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
The day the NHL came to Utah. Jay, thanks so much. You can hear Jay on the Puck Report, KSLSports.com, and look forward to his series coming up with Utah Hockey Club owner Ryan Smith in the weeks to come. Jay, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, before we go to break, golfers, you don't want to miss Uinta Golf multi-vendor demo and fitting event this Saturday from 10 to 4 at Mulligan's Golf and Games. This big one-day event is your chance to demo the hottest new products, meet with golf manufacturer reps, and get custom fit for your new clubs. And all purchases, all backed by our 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to theworldwidegolf.com and book your custom fitting today, this Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. Get there. We got to take a break. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Love it.
Wrapping up the hour with our picks for the best and worst moments on today's show. As JJ and Alex want to hear your best and worst of the day.
The NHL is thrilled to be coming to Utah.
I think this crowd is ready for hockey.
What a goal! What an effort! Score!
The NHL is here. Let's go, Utah. We're ready.
Goosebumps. It's official. A historic day in Utah sports history. The NHL is officially coming to Utah. Games in Utah, in Delta Center, in the NHL, in October.
Did you ever think
no
that you would do no a three-hour segment of all hockey?
Never. Why would I have to?
Right.
Hey, look, I love the Utah Grizzlies, but we weren't going to do 3 hours on the Grizzlies, right? This is different.
Crazy.
Here we are. We just did a 3 hour show on NHL hockey, and it was awesome.
Awesome.
And I've loved it. You're a pro football player. You grew up playing basketball. You're not
there's
hockey
a
hockey guy.
There wasn't a hockey
at you
team
today.
In Vegas, right?
Look at you today. Like, we're fired up. This is awesome.
Yes.
This is the highest level of hockey. We're getting a second Big Four pro sports franchise. No disrespect to any other teams this is the Big Four, and we have two of them now.
I think this is awesome.
We're growing up, Utah.
Us who grew up Mighty Ducks fans and could never, like, do anything about it, and now we have the chance to cheer on, you know, a professional hockey team. This is awesome.
It's so cool. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith dealerships in American and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. Why didn't you do one this week?
Oh, no, I'm good, bro.
How'd you get out this week? We were here all week.
Hey, I know Jeremy's behind the glass recording audio. Jeez. Man. He don't need to record that. No, I'm good.
All right. Best and worst. Obviously, the best is the NHL's coming to Utah. You're not going to be able to top that for the best.
Right.
Thank you, Ryan Smith. This is just unbelievable that this is happening, and it's exciting that we're going to be able to be a part of the whole journey from the very beginning, a brand new franchise in the NHL here in Utah. Here's the worst. I bring up Ryan Smith, and I thank Ryan Smith for a reason, because you could have an owner like this guy, Alex Morello of the Arizona Coyotes. He's the worst. He joined our sister station, Bonneville Station, Arizona Sports, 98.7, the home of the Arizona Coyotes down in Phoenix after the sale. And this is what he said. Quote, look, I would say it really starts from the beginning. There's not one mistake. It starts from the beginning. They come here and play in Phoenix Arena, and there were so many obstructed views of seats that they had to relocate to Glendale. Glendale was another mistake because it was so far away from the public and the fans that they could never generate the attendance that was necessary. So that was another failure. It just didn't work. Morello then admitted in arena negotiations he thought the other side was bluffing. This is from Arizona Sports. Then he goes on to say, quote, I was kicked out of the arena, he said. They asked me to sign for 20 years, and I said I wouldn't do that. And when I said no, they said they would kick me out. I didn't think they would do it, and they did. They thought for sure I would never have enough time to relocate it to another city.
You stink, and I don't like you!
Why don't you take responsibility for your hand in that? Where were you last night, Mr. Morello? Where were you? As fans bawled their eyes out saying goodbye to a franchise, season ticket holders that have invested heavily in your organization, you weren't there last night. Shame on you. And I know all the I know all the fans were saying Salt Lake sucks. They were taking their frustration out on us. I promise you all that frustration was actually towards their owner. They're blaming us because they have no one else to blame right now. Morello wasn't there. They couldn't yell at him. They couldn't say Morello sucks. Maybe some of them did. I don't know. Maybe there was a Morello sucks chant. But I do feel for these fans right now chanting Salt Lake sucks because they're hurt right now. I'm not offended at all by this. They were done wrong by an owner that didn't do right by them. He couldn't do what was required on his end to invest in the club, to build a winner, and to build a building. He wasn't able to get him a barn. And the barn they were playing in wasn't good enough for NHL hockey. The NHL had no choice. And I feel for all of you down there, but we get to benefit from that because now we have our own NHL franchise. And that is so exciting. Can't wait for it. So much to look forward to. And as you follow the story and as you get ready for the NHL coming here, we want to be your home for this NHL team here in Utah. Join 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, KSLSports.com, KSL TV, KSL Sports Live, Utah Puck Report with Jay Stevens. We're your home for Utah hockey coverage beginning now. And I'm so excited about it. Cannot wait. Tomorrow, press conference, 5 p.m., Ryan Smith at Delta Center. You can hear it live right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. JJ and Alex, more after this.
You can't blink when these things come along.